All right, so most of the two things that have been going on simultaneously this week, if you're keeping up with the news, if you don't, which hopefully you're not, so I'll update you. The big news that happened this week is, the turnabout of the President of the United States, who everybody thought up until this week was, Israel's greatest friend ever. But apparently, the price got too high, and it's almost July 4th, and the price of gas is just way up there. And the stock market has actually been going up a lot, but maybe, we could always do more. It's better if it goes up. So, there's a price for everything, and it's not good for all of the oil to be stuck in the Strait of Hormuz. So the President of the United States decided, that's it, we're cutting a deal with Iran, and we'll throw Israel under the bus. $20 billion or something like that, I think he wants to give to these characters. And they're not going to be using it in order to build subways and, nice transportation systems and roads. They're going to be using it to give it to terrorism all over the world, to kill people. It's like, okay, went to war with them to destroy that infrastructure. Let's give them $20 billion because, it's just too hard already. That's one thing that happened, and that's getting a lot of press. He's making a lot of friends, probably. He was making a lot of enemies, but in this country, he's not nearly as popular as he was a week ago. Other thing that's happening, much less covered by the press, is that there's this delegation been going around in America for the last, number of weeks. Karen Oilamatera, where you have a bunch of G'dayli Talmidei Chachamim, Rashi Yeshivas, Rav Dov Landau, Rosh Yeshiva of Kaplan is there, and there are many others, Dan Segal, and they're going around collecting money. Why? Because you need, 100 million plus, and like this year, with the way the shekel is, it's probably even more than that, because the whole army situation, so the Israeli government decided that yeshivas don't get money anymore. And on top of that, so you have the whole almost civil war. It gets more and more tension-filled every day over here with the protests and, arresting yeshiva bacharim because they're not in the army and they're in yeshiva and we don't want them in yeshiva, we want them in the army, and it's getting really testy around here. And that's also going on at the same time. Now, Rav Dan Segal, Shlita, at one of these events, made a very, very interesting observation. He pointed out to everybody, which answered a kasha that I had for a long time. What always bothered me is, how could it be that, like, here in Eretz Yisrael, there's so much infighting and all of this stuff happening, and they're trying to draft guys into the army and, whatever. The whole business is, and it's just becoming more and more and more vicious. And the Olamatera is under siege. And yet, at the same time, it seems like the country, in terms of the military, since October 7th, which is when this whole thing started really happening, that saying Haredim have to join the army too, it seems like they're having unparalleled success. Unparalleled success. Wipe out Hamas, wiping out Hezbollah, wiping out Iran. It's like the whole thing is taking over, So how do those two things dovetail? How do they go together? So this week we've done said that don't think that it's what your eyes see. Now it's beginning to really show its face. Because if you're going to oppress the Torah and you're not going to let the Torah thrive, so then there's only so far that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to let it go. And you have a president of the United States who was definitely put there for a reason. The bullet went within a quarter of an inch of his brain. And we all thought, oh, he's there, he's there because he's the Mashiach, he's a Mashiach himself. But now you see that it goes the other way too. You have a guy over there who's so impulsive and who's so driven by his emotions and his split second, you winked at me the wrong way, okay, fine, I'll mess you over and destroy your country. or the other way around, that Lev Molochim Biad Hashem has never, ever been easier. Because when you got a guy like that, he can be a puppet this way today, and an hour later, boom, it's something else. So it's a very, very scary situation. But on the other hand, it points a finger at something, and this is the topic that I want to talk about today. That oftentimes in life and oftentimes in the world, you read the news, what you see as the story is really not the story. It's the story behind the story that's the actual fact of what's going on. So it looks like the President of the United States is doing this, and Iran is doing that, and the other thing. But the second story is terror being learned? Is that Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan being satisfied over here? That's really the story behind the story. And the story behind the story that you don't see, so that really we know. We know that that's really what turns the wheels. And that's really what makes the world go round. And that's something that's very topical to the Parsha of the Week, but maybe even more than the Parsha of the Week, it's topical to Chodesh Tammuz, the Chodesh that we're coming into right now. Parshas Chukas is famous for a lot of reasons. The name Riva, we have, unfortunately, Aaron HaKohen Nifter, and Miriam Nifter, and a lot of things in Parshas Chukas. And Parshas Chukas starts off with Zeis Chukas HaTorah, which is one of the topics that we talked about in the Shir this Zman. Zeis Chukas HaTorah, why is it called the Chukas HaTorah, the Parah Aduma? Says Rashi, Asatun u'Misa'olam Meinenes Yisrael, whatever ma mitzvah Zeis. What is this mitzvah? Ma tam yesh bo? What kind of reason is it? Lefika kasa b'chuka, gzeira hi milfana ve'en lecha rishus laharach areha. This is the mitzvah that you'll never be able to figure out. Even Shlomo HaMelech says, I pondered it. I can't figure it out. Does that mean that there is no reason? So that we talked about. Of course there's a reason. The reason's not rational. The reason is Sisrei Torah. But of course there's reasons. And maybe there's even a rational reason that, you know, even the great Shlomo HaMelech was not able to ponder and was not able to figure out. But that's the Chukas HaTorah. You go through Rashi in the beginning, and Rashi tells you Al Derech HaPshat, and then there's a fascinating group of Rashis all the way at the end, where Rashi says, this is the Pshat in the Pasuk, but Al Pi Rabbeinu Meisha Darshan, Divrei Agada, so there's an entirely different look at the Parah Aduma. And basically what Rashi says, I'll read some of it to you, he says that the Parah Aduma is basically a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. And every part of the Parah Aduma has a parallel in the Chet HaEgel. V'yikhu Eilecha. You should take for yourselves, or take to you. Mishalahem. Parah Aduma has to be from them. K'shem shem parku nizme azav le'egel mishalahem, just like they gave the nose rings of gold from theirs, kachavi uzula kapar mishlam. Para aduma. It's got to be a para aduma. Mashal ben shifcha shatinech paltin. Just like the kid of a shifcha that messed up the palace. Amru tava yimai, the mother, should come with the kaneach atzoya. She should clean up the mess. So the egel is the baby, and the para is the mother. So for the egel, you bring a para. Aduma is red, Yadimu Ketayla, Shachet Kari Yadim. It's red because Chet, which is the Chet HaEgel, is red. And Tamima, Al Shem Yisrael, Shei Tamima Menasubai Bali Mumin. They became Bali Mumin. So you have over here, this is the Kapara, so to speak, for the Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel, and now we have a Para Aduma. What in the world does that mean? What's the parallel over here? Just because it's a cow and an eagle, what is all this funny stuff? There's got to be a deeper reason. Heard from the Mashgiach many times that there is a deeper reason. There's deeper reason over here. What's the parallel between the Parah Aduma and the Chet HaEgel? Why one is a kapara for the other? So it has deeper ramifications and other things as well. Talking about the Chet HaEgel and the Parah Aduma, So the Cheta Egel is actually in Yana de Yoma. Why? Because when was the Cheta Egel? The Cheta Egel, we know, is Shivasa B'Tamuz. And that's when we started to be Medarder V'Holech. You know, that's when we started to go down. Any punishment that we get today has a part of the Cheta Egel in it. We should have been destroyed because of the Cheta Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu saved us, but we're still suffering for the Cheta Egel. And that's in Tammuz. Now, Tammuz has an interesting history. Tammuz, there's an unknown story about Tammuz. I don't remember if I ever said it in this year or whatever, but it's a very fascinating, unknown story about Tammuz. The Navi Yecheskel, the crazy pasuk, it says that the Navi Yecheskel, Vayovoi, El Pesa, Beis Hashem, he came to the Beis HaMikdash, Asher Otzfoina, Vihinei HaNoshim, there were women, Yoishvois, who were sitting there, Umevakois es HaTammuz. And they were crying about the Tammuz. Who's this Tammuz? What's going on with this Tammuz? So the Rambam in Merid Avuchim, when he comes to tell you all of the Deus Kaisvais, all of the pagan religions, all of the false religions that Yiddishkeit comes la'afuke, so he tells a story of Avraham Avinu. And he says that like Avraham Avinu grew up in a society where there was a overriding Avodah Zarah that the king worshipped, and the stone was Nimrod. He just says HaMelech. And this group was called the Tzaba. Just Tzaba, Tzadi, Aleph, Beis, Hey, with like a, you know, quotation mark. And they actually had these, in the time of the Rambam, these Tzaba people, they had the history books still about, you know, their whole history. And he says that in their history book, they talk about Avraham Avinu. About how Avraham Avinu was getting a following and no one could disprove him. And he was saying that all the mazalos, all the stars and all of the astrological signs and everything, they're all being run by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and no one could deal with this guy. So the king took him in. And the king couldn't deal with him either. And then it says that the king sent him off to the east. I don't know what that means. You know, maybe that was the precursor to Lech Lecha or something like that. But here's the interesting part of the story where we get into the Tammuz. Then it says over there, B'Sefer Ahu, in this Tzaba book, it says, Siper al ish min nevi'ei Avodah Zarah, there was a prophet of the Avodah Zarah, Shehoyah Shmoy Tammuz, and his name was Tammuz. Korah Melech Lavoid, Hashiva Kechovim, Ayud Beis Mazolais, and the king called them in to start worshiping all the astrological signs and the sun and the moon and the stars and everything like that. And apparently he botched up because it says that the king killed him. V'horgoy amelech, ahu, horeg misim hereg mishuna. He killed him in a very, very awful, cruel way. And then it tells him the story of the Avodah Zarah, that all of the Avodah Zarahs, the sun and the moon and the stars and all of the Getchkes that they had for that, they all came around and they gathered in a room. They all started to be Mevake es HaTammuz. They all started to cry for Tammuz. And the story ends up over there and says, what's it called? And that is why, Mitchilas Yoyim Echaydish Tammuz, that there was always this custom for these Bali Avodah Zarah, that in the beginning of Chodesh Tammuz, Yekainenu, they would be Mekainen, V'yivku al Tammuz, and they would cry about this poor Tammuz guy who was wrecked, that he couldn't come and, you know, vindicate the Avodah Zarah from Avraham Avinu. V'yispedu aleha, and they say, espedim on it, V'yanu b'nei Adam, and that's Tammuz. So what we call Tammuz, yeah, is actually a reflection of this one person who was killed because of the fact that Avraham Avinu did such a good job. He got called in. He wasn't able to vindicate the Avodah Zarah. The king shechted him because what are you doing, man? And then there became this ritual to Avodah Zarah that everyone is crying about the Tammuz. What in the world is going on over here? What in the world is going on over there? First of all, the Merv Nevuchim tells us this stuff. So we're supposed to understand something. But apparently there's a power of Tammuz. The power of Tammuz, that at that time Avraham Avinu won. Tammuz means you call in somebody and you start worshipping all the astrological signs, worshipping the Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu won. And they cried about the fact that Avraham Avinu won. But it's interesting that it's Hagufa, at that time, that specific month of Tammuz, that's when Klal Yisrael botches up and, so to speak, what do they do? Cheta Egel, the worship of Avodah Zarah. So what is the power of Chedesh Tammuz? What's going on over there between this Navi of Avodah Zarah and Avraham Avinu? And has an interface with the Cheta Egel. And a third thing that we talk about over here, and this is, you know, this is really, really wild stuff. Is it just, what's it called? This you can only hear from Ramesh Shapiro. I don't know, maybe somebody else who talks on that level. But this is wild. It's just an interesting thing. He says over from the Sefer HaYetzirah, Avraham Avinu, that every month of the 12 months is reflective of another combination of how you could put together the letters Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Okay. So, Ledugma, I give an example. Yeah, Nisan is straight, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. It's the first month. And Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei is reflected by the pasuk of Yismuchu Ashamayim V'Sogel Aretz. It's the happiest month. Yismuchu Ashamayim V'Sogel Aretz. Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. What's Tammuz? So Tammuz is exactly the opposite. Tammuz is that you have it backwards in the last letter of the words. Hey Vav Hey Yud. And what's the pasuk that it reflects? V'chol ze einenu shoyve li. Who remembers who said that?
Haman.
Haman. In the Megillah, right after Haman says, I've got it all. I have all of the money and all of the covet, and even Esther is coming to the Suda with, I've got it all. I've got a death warrant on Klal Yisrael. I've got a death warrant on my most vicious enemy, on Mordechai at Tzaddik. He's a dead man. I've got absolutely everything. V'chol ze einenu shoyve li. Yeah, ze is hey, einenu is vav, shoyve is hey, and li is yud. So put together, backwards, the last letters is hey vav hey yud, or yud kei vav kei. So Tammuz is somehow v'chol ze einenu shoyve li. What does that mean? Clearly what it means is one thing. Is that it's possible for somebody in the world to have absolutely everything and say it's not worth anything. Why? Because kol zman that I see a Mordechai HaTzadik in front of me, kol zman that I see somebody who's kol kuloi Torah and Yerushamayim, when I see somebody who's a Jew, I can have all the money and all of the power, and deep down inside of me, I know it's worth nothing. Now, a straight person, if he does that, what does he say? Okay, can't beat him, join him, become like Mordechai. You realize that your $17 zillion are worth nothing, and all your covet is worth nothing, so become like Mordechai. But no, he can't do that. So you have to destroy Mordechai. But deep inside, it bothers him. And that's the complex, that's the issue of Chedesh Tammuz. There are three issues. Issue number one is, how is the Chet HaEgel rectified by the Parah Adumah? It's a very deep idea. Number two is that you see that Tammuz is the showdown between Avraham Avinu and this Tammuz fellow. And that's when you have the Chet HaEgel. And finally, you have from the Sefer Yetzirah, whatever it means, that the theme of Chedesh Tammuz is B'chol ze einenu shoyve li. That Haman comes to the realization, he can't stand it, it makes him nuts, that everything he sees in the world, everything that he has, all of his money, all of his power, all of his covet, is worth nothing when he looks at Mordechai at Tzaddik. That's Tammuz. What does this mean? What are you supposed to take from it? I had a very, I had a very sad day yesterday. I spent the whole morning at a Levaya. And it wasn't just a Levaya, it was mamish, just like, what's it called? It was draining. It was my Mechutin's brother, relatively young person or whatever, probably late 40s, early 50s or whatever, sick for about a year, year and a half. And he did a lot of good for a lot of people, and he passed away. I had a Hakaras Atayuv to him for a lot of reasons. He came to the Simchas with Mesiras Nefesh. When my daughter got engaged to the L'chaim, he showed up. He was walking with a cane, and he had a patch on. It was a very scary sight. I mean, whatever. At least externally, he got better after that. At the Chasana, he looked regular or whatever, but he came to Mesiras Nefesh, to the Chasana, to the Shabbos Sheva Brachas. He spoke at the Shabbos Sheva Brachas, whatever. And other things that he did for me personally that I, you know, what's it called? I had a curse of type to him. I wanted to be there for my Mechutin also. He was a very popular guy because he was a recruiter for YU. Everybody knew him. And I knew that the Levaya was going to be crowded, but I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into. What happened? We get onto the highway, and by the time we get to Eretz Achayim, we see on the other side of the highway, cars are parking on the side of the exit. You couldn't get near the Beis HaKvaros. And that's what happened. We got off of the exit, and after a while, so my ride said, okay, fine, I think that this is the end of the line. And we had to trek all the way up through that forest and, you know, whatever, all the way to get to the... There's a Pella. It's like, okay, this guy, you know, you heard about, like, well-liked, but like, okay, but said, you hear a lot of interesting things at every Levaya. I can't go into all of them, but the two things are just one thing. First of all, they said, and, you know, this sort of gives you feels. Ah, this is the reason. They said, you know, on his status, he had 20,000 followers. He was always very, very popular, but like once he got sick, he mamish became like, you know, Hasidish or Rebbe. Okay, but that didn't really explain it because most of the people that I saw at this Levaya did not look like they would be, you know, like wannabe followers on somebody's status. It's not exactly, you know, whatever. It's not the whole story. Can't be the whole story. The other thing that his older brother said, I think that this really, first of all, gives you the insight as to how you get 20,000 followers in the first place. You can't just be a cool guy. There's got to be something else. But also, why the Levaya looked the way that it did. He said over a vart from a contemporary, you know, Israeli Rosh Yeshiva, which I'm not saying that it's necessarily an opinion that you can't argue with. It is definitely something to think about. He said, today the job of a Rosh Yeshiva, the job of a Magid Shir, is not necessarily to give over new Maror Mekaymus and to say Shiurim and to, you know, whatever, do all the things that we used to do 15, 20 years ago. He's a Rosh Yeshiva, you know, whatever, top yeshiva, top regular yeshiva, not, you know, for Mitchaskim or anything like that. That's not the job of a Rosh Yeshiva anymore. The job of a Rosh Yeshiva today is primarily to show love. That's the job today of a Rosh Yeshiva. To make people love the Torah and to be a person who exudes love so that they're going to come to love learning, they'll come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll come to love Yiddishkeit. And the older brother said, and that was my brother's secret. And my brother had that love, he said, on steroids. And that was the hallmark of all of his success. So the Musar Haskel that I took out of that was, it's like, okay, fine, you know, I don't really relate to that world, 20,000 followers. But to me, that seems like, you know, on the surface of it, on the veneer, like, wow, you got 20,000 people listening to you all the time. That's crazy, right? That's the part you see. The part that you don't see is what's behind those 20,000. What's the anchor? What's the magic that makes it all work? What's the story behind this story? What's the unseen story that you don't see on the veneer? And that is what's going on in the person's heart. And you could see it when he came over to talk to you, came over to schmooze with you when he was so sick and he never gave on that he was so sick. It's often the part that we don't see, which makes all the wheels turn. and which makes the part that we do see work the way that they do. And lemaisa, that's the secret of Chodesh Tammuz, and that's the secret, that's the climax of the Chet HaEgel, and that's the reason that Parah Aduma ends up being a kapara on the Chet HaEgel. What does it mean when we say V'chol Zeh Einenu Shoveli? V'chol Zeh Einenu Shoveli means that we walk around in a world, and the things that we see on the surface that everybody thinks making the world go around, money and guns and position, big houses, lots of glamour, that's what it's all about. And if you've got that, so then you've got it made. V'chol zeh einenu shoveli, let's say the way that Mordechai would say it, is that's not worth anything. You can have all the money and all the guns and all the power, it's not worth diddly squat. Because what really twists it around is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen. Atzas Hashem Hisoku. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays with the President of the United States like a rag doll. V'chol zeh einenu shoveli. That's the right way of looking at it. The way that Haman looks at it is V'chol zeh einenu shoveli. Why? Because it is valuable. And looking in that guy's eyes, he says, it's not valuable. I can't take that. I can't deal with the fact that he's right and I'm wrong. So I have to destroy him. And even after I destroy him, I'll still be angry because I'm going to still be wrong. Who else made that mistake? Klal Yisrael made that mistake. Klal Yisrael thought that if there's no Moshe Rabbeinu, so the only way to deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by having something external, veneer, gold, glittery, something that we can feel, something that we can see. We either need a person or we need a statue. And so therefore, in that month of Tammuz, which is what this is all about, they kowtowed and they lost track of the fact that you don't really need anything. You need to see what's going on behind the scenes. And so they wanted a god with a veneer, with something that you see, something that's gold, something that's valuable, like we all do. And so they botched it up. They looked at V'chol zeh einenu shoveli like Haman did. They said that the ikar is the external, not what's behind it. And that was the battle between Avraham Avinu and the original Tammuz. Avraham Avinu said, yeah, sure, there's a sun, and there's a moon, and there's stars, and there's mazalos, and it's all very, very tangible. If you're a scientist, you can figure out why if you're born in June, this is the type of life you're going to lead. And you can orchestrate that. Avraham Avinu said, no, but there's somebody behind the mazalos. V'chol zeh einenu shoveli. There's something behind the whole thing. Whatever you see is not worth anything. The Tammuz says, no, what do you mean? Everything that we see here, that's what's running the world. Lost, got shechted, Avraham Avinu won. For the rest of history, people are mevakoy, says a Tammuz, because they can't deal with that fact, that what you see is not what you get, and there's something higher up. That's a battle of Tammuz. The battle of Tammuz is, what's going on? The things that we see that's really restoring the world, money and guns and power, or is there something higher? And the Parah Aduma basically teaches us that the takana, the Chet HaEgel, the kapara of the Chet HaEgel, is saying that even when you don't understand it at all, the way that you have to fix up things is just doing by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, because it's the Ratzon Hashem that really runs the whole world. That's us Hashem. Atzas Hashem Hisokum, and that's really what turns all the wheels. That is the Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is how you look at the Chol Zeh Einenu Shoveli. Do you look at it like Mordechai or like Avram would? Everything that you see is not really worth anything. The only thing that's worth something is Ratzon Hashem. Well, no. is that what we see, that's the most important thing, and everybody who thinks opposite, we have to get rid of. For mice, I always think that, you know, at that time, this time of year, that's when we start thinking about these things as well. You know, Tammuz, it's hot, everything comes to fruition. It's warm, we have the payrus of an entire year, and now we're, you know, ready to go on to a Shabbaton. We're certainly going to hear the Rosh Hashiva give his summary of the year and, you know, his projection for next year and all these different types of things. But for each and every one of us, it's also time to start thinking about this cheshbon. What's important in life? What's important in life? People have all kinds of dreams and ambitions and, you know, things that they would like to do. And everybody would like to be successful. But really, what is the key to success? One tends to think, yeah, the key to success is doing all the things that the world tells you. You're going to bring success. Go get a job and have money and have a lot of money and then, you know, whatever, all of these other things. But there's another way of looking at it as well. And that's the difference between Avraham Avinu and the Tammuz. Avraham Avinu says that even though there are mazalos and even though there is a system, but then there's a higher power that runs the system. And that's the real pshat, that's the real cook on Chol Zein and Shevali. All this stuff is worthless. You just got to go out and do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Use your heart, find your niche, but at the end of the day, your success is not determined by just, you know, using your elbows and getting ahead in the rat race that the world likes to think really runs everything. But be an Eved Hashem. Have your Shemayim. Learn to love Yiddishkeit, love Torah, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Love everything about it. And Be'ez Hashem, you come to be very, very successful, like Avraham Avinu, like Klal Yisrael before the Cheta Egel, and not like the people that think that what really runs the world is money and guns and everything else that we see going on in the news, because it's really the story behind the story. Have a good Shabbos.